Welcome to Cabot Coverage, the podcast where three sisters and a beloved family friend discuss the crime-solving adventures of mystery novelist Jessica Fletcher on Murder, She Wrote. I'm Susanna.
I'm Megan.
I'm Glynis.
And I'm Ashley.
And this week we're discussing Murder Among Friends, which is episode 16 from season 12 and originally aired on the 8th of February, 1996. Our writer is Gerald L. Ludwig, or sometimes credited as Jerry Ludwig. He's written seven episodes. The episodes he's written that we've covered are The Murder Channel, Murder in High C, School for Murder, and The Secret of Gila Junction. Murder Among Friends sees Jessica filming a PBS series on mysteries, and she's having a bit of a tough time getting some sort of montage she needs as she's talking about MacGuffins, and she wants to cite some Alfred Hitchcock clips and things like that. So she goes off to see her executive producer, who is a guy called Leo Vardian, played by Nicholas Serravee. Leo's a busy guy because not only is the executive producer of this random PBS show, but he's also the executive producer of the hit show, number one in the Nielsen ratings, Buds, which is, of course, a loose sort of pastiche of Friends. Yeah, it's meant to be a lookalike to Friends. Yeah. Basically is Friends.
The intro song.
I mean, the theme music is one note different.
I mean, it's amazing they got away with it.
It is a little shocking, but this was like, wait.
So Buds is a sitcom about six 20-something friends, three girls, three guys that hang out in a cafe and talk about their sex lives. That's what Jessica says anyways.
She just talks about their sexual orientation.
No, sexuality.
So Leo is married to the show's creator, a lady called Ricky Vardian, played by Cindy Katz. Ricky is a really difficult woman. I mean, she's just like sociopathic in her way of doing things. So Ricky runs the show, but she also controls every aspect of it, from what the people on the show are doing, the way it's written, all this sort of stuff, as you'd probably expect from a showrunner. She's also sleeping with one of the cast members. We'll go through the cast in a second of Buds. Basically being kind of horrible to everybody, horrible to her husband, sort of comes across as greedy and all this sort of stuff. I guess she's meant to be like a loose parody of Marta Kaufman, who created Friends, who was sort of famous for being one of the only young female showrunners of a very popular show. I'm sure that is not how people felt about her. So obviously she comes across quite badly in this episode. Which is a bit of a shame. But anyways, so let's get back to the Buds. So the Buds are nervous because Ricky has been tasked with culling two of them, which is nuts. Like, for a number one sitcom, she has to get rid of two of the cast members.
They want to pull the purse string.
And not just get rid of them, kill them. So that is like, so they're worried that two of the cast members are going to get murdered, killed off the show. So the six cast members, one man, one woman, we never meet.
Yes, I was able to get a picture of them at like, I was really proud of myself because I was able to get a picture of them, but it was, they're not.
They have no lines that, as far as I could tell, unless it's like in the show.
They cheer at the end.
Yeah. Our four main buds are Timmy Flint, played by Gary Hershberger, who is this blonde guy who used to be a student of Jessica's at Manhattan University, who I guess is meant to kind of maybe be the Chandler. Then there's a redheaded girl called Carly McAllister, played by Allison Smith, who I think you're meant to think is meant to be the Monica. Then there's Vince Danisco, played by John Terleski. He's meant to be kind of the Joey. And Diane Emery is played by Barbara Allen Woods, and her character is meant to be like the Rachel, but there's some distinctions between them. So the main things to know about these four people: Vince is having an affair with Ricky. Diane wants off the show because she's been offered a part in a Rob Reiner movie and is desperate to take it. So she wants her character killed off. Carly has the hots for Vince and hates Ricky, but Carly is worried she's actually going to be the one that get called off the show, and she's right about that. And then Timmy is, I guess, worried he's going to be cut. He's also paid the lowest, inexplicably, and his dad is a lieutenant with the LA Police Department. He's a guy called Roy Flint, played by Frederick Coffin, who is like busting balls over at this Monolith studio for his son. It's like, what a cop has to do with this TV show, God
I
only
can't wait till we
knows.
talk about the dad. I have so much to
He's
say.
busting balls and breaking laws, but yeah,
No, illegal, illegal. And so Timmy and Jessica are very close. So that's how Jessica's getting involved through Tim and Leo. Carly, by the way, also has a guy called Gene Gaines, played by Bill Brocktrup, who's the main staff writer on the show, who is actually a former student of Jessica's. And at first you're like, is this guy gonna be creepy? And then he isn't. He's just like nice, but he has a crush on Carly, so he's trying to help her. So there's a lot of business going on here. There's a couple of other characters in, like, there's like Leo's right hand slash, like, I guess, muscle, who's a guy called Alex Bauer, played by Cameron Dye, who's photographed Ricky and Vince together. There's the director for the episode is a lady called Joy, played by Terry Hanover, who Joy can't catch a break. She also seems like the world's most boring woman. So, like, how she's directing a
Dead behind
comedy.
the eyes. Every time they pander her, she's just like.
Well, and when they're reading well, we can get to it in a bit, but when they're reading the script, I mean, Ricky's right. There's no comedy. It's like, this lady's meant to be directing them. And then there's a lady called Rose. I think they call her Rosie or Rosemary, who is the lady who's show running the PBS show that Jessica's involved with. So there's so much information here. We'll get to all of it in a second. But long story short, 35 minutes in, Ricky finally gets it, as she's managed to upset literally every single person on the show. And she is hit over the head. It turns out that it was Diane. So Diane actually ended up losing the part in the Rob Reiner movie that was filming in New Delhi. Like, okay, what Rob Reiner movie is filming in India? We don't know. But she lost the part to Meg Ryan, and who Jessica refers to as some actress, which I thought was funny. And but she actually had already lost the part, but she didn't know that when she killed Ricky, because Ricky was suing her for breach of contract for trying to leave the show to do the movie. And we get into a conversation about actresses and their age that I'd like to talk about more, so I won't mention it now. So that's what happens in Murder Among Buds. At the end of the episode, Jessica, through helping Tim, because at some point we think Tim did it, get off, she becomes an honorary bud. And that's a really profound
Gets
moment.
murdered by the laptop computer.
There's so much to discuss here. Like, I'm worried an hour will only confine us, because it was hard enough getting through the intro without, there's a million things, 8 bajillion things happen in this episode. So there's a couple trivia facts. Unsurprisingly, the first one is that this isn't just a parody, it's a subtle, I would put that in quotation marks, dig, because we know that the network moved Murder, She Wrote from their primetime slot on a Sunday, in which it was really popular, to Thursday against Friends, because this was, I think it was Les Moonves's wanting to kill the show. And nobody could beat Friends in the ratings. So that was something that upset, I think, everybody on Murder, She Wrote, including Angela Lansbury. So this was their sweet revenge against Friends. And then the next is obviously that it's based on a hit 90s TV show, Friends, from 1994, and that the theme song is very similar. They did make a note of that. And then the last fun fact, there was another one in there, but the last fun fact I'll mention is there is a blooper in this episode, which is that at one point, Leo and Lieutenant Flint are walking under a sign that says Buds airing 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. And there's an apostrophe between Wednesday and the S, and there shouldn't be an apostrophe there.
What a
So
hilarious blooper.
pretty good
I
stuff.
was
So someone is pretty eagle-eyed,
like,
but
I mean.
there's 8 million things to talk about here, because It's so jam-packed in. The attention to detail, I actually think, apart from the apostrophe kerfuffle, is pretty good. Someone obviously, and I just love the fact that the whole premise of this episode is that you could have a show like Friends. So imagine this, Friends has been on the air for like a couple of years, and they're like, we are gonna kill off two of the main characters. That is insane.
This is one of the questions I had. Like, was there ever that rumor on Friends that like one of the characters wasn't performing as well?
No, and I think it's like they got like I see what Murder, She Wrote was trying to do, and it's like funny, but also I think they got confused a little bit that like that's something they do on soap operas a lot, is like keep the I don't think there's anyone at risk of like getting killed off of Friends. I think people would have been really upset.
Did someone like test poorly? Like, I
Well,
just.
and I think it's to show that the show that Hollywood is so cutthroat. So, right, it's all the execs, all of these people. We never see the exec that's requiring them to kill off two main characters. So it's also a bit of a dig, probably, at just the industry in general, that they and that the people that come across well, apart from obviously the murderer, are the actors that are all at risk because they're really the ones that are concerned. You know, you sympathize with them the most, and they seem like nice people. And so I think the show is very clear where it's, you know what I mean, where their sympathies are. And it's certainly not with the Rickies of the world.
Right, and the thing where, people want to get out of their contracts so they can go do movies while they're popular. Because, like, I don't know, the people in Friends, like, I guess Courteney Cox was in the Scream movies, which were really big, but, they kept trying to have Jennifer Aniston in these movies, and it, like, I think now she's more of a movie person, but, like, it never quite worked out while she was on the show.
It's a good point because actually, because the character that does the murder that's getting the Rob Reiner movie, which I love that Rob Reiner is such a name drop, is like, that's great.
No, they say it like several times.
So many times.
Is meant to be the Rachel equivalent, is meant to be Jennifer Aniston, right? So, and she was the one, I remember this when Friends was on, that they were pushing the hardest to have a film career. So she did things like Picture Perfect. She did The Object of My Affection. She did these real kind of not great rom-coms. I'm trying to think of one movie she was in that was successful. Because Courteney Cox, I think she did have the Scream franchise, but I never got the impression she was like so mad keen to like have this huge, because she's like third build in Scream. Like she, or second, she's not the lead character. So and Phoebe, Lisa Kudrow, she sort of did indie stuff.
Yeah, I thought they tried most with like Jennifer Aniston and Matthew Perry, and they just like, yeah, it was a bunch of like not
Yeah, like what was it? Fool's Rush In for
that was
Matthew.
Matthew Perry. Yeah, it
Yeah,
was not very
that's
good.
bad. Whole Nine Yards is good.
I do love
Yeah.
that movie.
But they're not like, these aren't like huge blockbuster, like they're not. And I guess at that time, it was. You did want to be on film rather than on TV was still viewed as sort of a lesser medium, whereas I'm not sure that's quite the same. People don't think of that the same way, but also by the end, they were making so much money. And so the pay thing is interesting that they mention it because eventually all those actors worked together to make sure they were all getting the same wage on the show, so they weren't getting undercut. So that was kind of an interesting little thing they threw in there. But
I know where to start. Let's just start with a terrible dad.
I was literally about to say the
the
same thing.
He was awful.
How many laws did he break?
He was like such a stage mom, but like emboldened further because he was an officer.
It
Like,
was really
really
creepy.
weird. And then
He
he investigated the murder. That's so weird.
Like, how was he allowed to do that?
And Jessica asked.
Yeah.
And he did say at the end, he was like, I'm going to go back to doing what I do best, and that's be a great cop. I was like, we have not seen you do
Yeah.
that even once. So.
fighting with them over paying for the limo that the guy got when he's like, I don't care, I can pay for it. It's like, and then he's just like coming. Okay, next up on my list is Leo, who is just the
Oh.
worst. But it's just like he's coming after Leo constantly. Like how he had access to all these people on the set seems like he would have been barred pretty quickly.
Well, Leo's not like, I mean, Tim's not like 16. He's like
Right, he's like 30.
30.
Yeah.
He's like, Dad, like, stop coming. It's like, your dad's a police officer. You just say, like, you cannot come on the
Or
set.
bar him from the set. Like, I think that can happen, and you're okay with that.
The dad's basically saying that he's not very good and that he like doesn't have the chops, and so he can only get so far if the dad comes in and says stuff.
I mean, we've not seen any of them be very good. And Tim maybe lacks a dynamism that I was worried for Tim that he was gonna
Timmy.
get killed off the show.
And also, what adult man goes by Timmy?
Yeah.
Timmy. That was a toughie. Sorry, no offense to anyone named Timmy who listens,
No,
but I was just
I'm with
curious.
you. And then it just like, I don't know. The dad was just so awful because I find this episode very entertaining. And it's like, I like the burns on friends. I like the fact that you don't meet two of the buds. But it's like, the dad is so painful. And I think Leo's really rough too, but it like, it's still great.
I think this is great. I love the dynamic on the show. I think it's hilarious. I think the fact that the dad's like a stage mom is like so weird.
It's
And
so weird.
he brought a gun to the set.
Yeah.
Like that is insane.
That's crazy.
The gun. And then he's calling in. He wants them to look up something about Leo, and he's like spelling the name. He's like, it's Barty. B as in Berman. And then he like, you're like,
A for armpit.
yeah. It's just like, it's so weird. There's so many like rough men in this episode. I guess everyone's a little rough.
Oh no, I was gonna say I weirdly really liked Ricky. I just thought she
Yeah,
was like
me
a great
too.
villain, but you're right, a weird man. Sorry, that was a woman, but like weird men for sure. But I really liked Ricky's whole villainous attitude.
I also was like, she's not that bad. She's being told by the higher ups to do something, so she's doing it. Like,
And people are
and
trying to push her around and
yeah, and
like.
like when freaking Diane is crying about the movie role, she's like, that's Leo's department. I'm not even blocking that.
Yeah.
But she was
That was a
lying.
lie.
Oh, that was.
Yeah,
Okay,
she's
never mind.
lying.
But she's entitled to block it. Sorry, Glennis.
I just like the glasses, though, like just made her look so comical. And I know that that was a pivotal point at the end, but it just, I didn't get the like fear from her character that I think was meant to be felt. She sort of just felt like a little like the words were good, but I just didn't get the same like oomph.
And like when Leo's crying about her, he's like, sign this prenup, Leo. It's like, whatever you say, Ricky. And
Cutting checks.
I feel like that she didn't care. And she's like, and he's like, this is embarrassing. I'm your co-producer or whatever. She's like, well,
Then
okay.
act like it.
Yeah, I'm
Well, she's
sorry.
the ideas person and she's protecting the show. And yeah, she goes around screaming at everybody, but it's like, it's she's keeping the show running and popular and funny. And like, she's trying to kind of, and everybody's being a big baby. So, like, Diane's trying to leave the very popular show to go do a Rob Reiner movie
In New Delhi.
in New Delhi. And, Carly, at some point, they mentioned that she's looking to do a Valerie Harper
Yes.
TV show, which is Valerie Harper not Rhoda, or am I getting
He is
confused? She
Rhoda.
is, but she was, remember she did that show, Hogan's Family?
Yep.
Was she on that?
She was on it. It was a different title, wasn't it?
like Valerie and Family or something. Yeah, and she was on it for one or two seasons and then she quit, I think.
And they killed her off and brought in Sandy Duncan.
Yeah, the Snackwell lady.
Oh, or Triscuits.
Wheat Thins? What did she
do? I think it's Triscuits. Ever watched that show. I did not realize Valerie Harper was on that until.
Well, I watched that show all the time.
But I watched Hogan Family because.
Yeah.
It was.
That was the one that was syndicated, I think. I don't think they ever had the Valerie one.
Yes. Ugh, a lot of bad blood.
Yeah, Rhoda was the long answer to your question. It was Rhoda.
But I guess what I'm saying is, like, would that have been, I guess that would have been, but it's like, everybody's trying to get off the show. And it's like, she's trying to keep the show going. And yeah, they have contracts. And I don't care if you're 36 years old, you have to wait out your 4 years. That age reveal is I remember it. It's a scene I'll never forget because the look on Jessica's face when she's like, well, how old are you? 29. She's like, try 36. And Jessica's like, huh? Like, yeah, it's so gross. It's like, you're right. You'll never get a career. So old.
I mean, so good.
So good. But it's like you. It is kind of sad because you're also sort of like, well, yeah, I guess in 4 years she'll be 40, and probably in the 90s it wasn't like very, I mean, even now, probably not great. But it is the funniest thing where you're like, could Jessica look a little bit less like disgusted?
Right.
Like,
like
you're 30.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that age reveal is so, so good. Try 36. Oh, just incredible. Jessica's like, yeah, okay, I get it.
When the legs go, like,
oh yeah, oh yeah.
Comparing yourself to like a sports.
Oh my god, what did she say?
She's like, it's like we're a ball player. When the legs go, everything else is gone. Also, sorry, I just realized something. Yeah. The lady that plays Diane is on the show, the TV show Chucky, as the mayor. And I really like her. So I thought it was Dee Dee Pfeiffer this whole time. Turns out it's not. And
she does look a lot like Dee Dee Pfeiffer. And obviously it's like a similar era. Yeah. So she's got that kind of 90s blonde look to her.
But yeah, yeah, the age reveal is, that's what I tell People Magazine.
But then also it's like, if people are believing it, then
yeah,
I guess you are 29.
You know what's interesting is there's that comment about age and we can't find, and Cindy Katz she's been in a lot of stuff and she's been in a lot of stuff up through like the last couple years. And it's funny, we can't find her age. And I wonder if she was actually 36 in this show too.
Yep. There's actually, I always get like annoyed, but impressed when someone doesn't have their age on IMDb. Cause I'm like, well, I want to know, but then
good on you.
But it's also interesting cause you're right. It's like, does it matter? And yet I do like to know.
Yeah. Yeah, there are aspects of this episode I did like.
Oh, yeah, I think there's loads to like.
For a later season episode, I was, like, surprised at how much I liked it, because sometimes they can get so dark.
Yeah, this one definitely didn't feel too dark. Like, they make you know that Ricky is bad news and that she's just doing nothing but hurting people around her. So by the time she goes, you're like, okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
But it's... I like the sets they're on. I like that they're filming on the one PBS set. And then Jessica makes it very clear that she's doing a PBS show. She's like, I am not like debasing myself.
Network television.
Like, this is PBS. This is educational.
I also loved when she's like, is the clip going to clear in time? And that is my whole job. And I was like, yeah, I've been screamed at too by talent, wondering if something's going to clear on time because she's going to have to reshoot the whole thing.
Yeah, I got it.
A nightmare.
It was funny though, because the clips she wanted to use were all Hitchcock. And we saw a clip. Yeah. We saw a Strangers on a Train clip. Yeah. And it's like, those are probably... I would imagine kind of expensive to use, but
I don't think so. Yeah.
They might not clear.
Yeah, for a PBS budget.
I mean, they're showing a murder on PBS.
Yeah.
On Strangers on a Train. Like, is that allowed? Are they going to show that during the telethon?
So dark.
The telethon.
The old telethon.
I mean, are you going to get a tote? And then there's like a picture of Jay. So sorry, it's mean. We love public
broadcasting. The tote with like the scene on it?
Yeah. With, like the glasses. The murder reflected in the glasses. There's a lot of, I like, we've got some contemporary jokes, which I liked. So the production company is We're Here For You Productions instead of I'll Be There For You, which is, that's good stuff.
Oh, clever.
The cop says, you know, he's like trying to like a strong arm Ricky into not killing his son off the show. And he makes a Seinfeld joke and says, yada, yada, yada. That's
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was fun. I like those things. I think it's sweet that whilst they're making fun of it, they're like kind of, you know, and then the joke at the beginning when they're all sitting around talking about like the jokes are bad, obviously, because Murder She Wrote is not jokes. Like that's not what we're here for. But the bit at the beginning where they're talking about someone's girlfriend maybe being dumb or something. I can't remember what they were saying. Then the girl comes over and goes, "Who we slamming?"
It's something about that she had like fat ankles or something.
Oh my!
Like, yeah. They're trying to do a Friends. Although, I mean, I feel like they did a pretty good job. But yeah, I loved "Who we slamming?"
And I did like at the end where they're making fun of. I think it's like the Joe Vince's girlfriend, and they're saying they think she doesn't know how to read, and he says. He says they signed it with three X's, and he's like, "Yeah, but I don't know anybody with a middle name." Yeah, and that did make me chuckle a little.
That was so funny. I mean, I liked. Yeah, I like they did their best at like Friends type humor, but like not bad.
It was not bad.
Oh, she's got a case of the three C's or something. It's like commitment, something, something. They're like, Vince isn't interested in any of those.
Yeah, but I mean, is that worse than like, I feel like a Friends episode might have a joke like that.
They probably have something like very similar.
I would think so. I also like that the coffee shop's name was Kafka's.
It was.
That was like,
that's,
how did we miss that?
That's like painful but amazing.
Yeah, I was mixed about it. It was a neon sign.
I thought the interior, like my one criticism is I thought the interior of the cafe set was very dark. Like it was so much reds, dark, visually. Yeah. And agreed. I thought, guys, we got to lighten this up a bit. Okay.
On that subject, when she finds Leo in the room, she's like, "What are you doing in the dark?" It's like fully lit up.
I know, it's that weird neon red. You're like, what kind of coffee shop is this? It's
like, what are you doing hanging out in the dark? I'm like, he's not in the dark.
We also have a fun gender reverse in this episode, which is normally we have a wife complaining about her husband to Jessica. And here we have a husband complaining about his wife. So that felt like kind of a fresh take on an old standard.
She was her producer on PBS before. Yeah. So like she was friends with him. Cause yeah, I was like, what? I'm always like, and how did she know Timmy?
He was her student, Manhattan University.
And Jean was too.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But Jean, I love when these people show up and they're like, "You told me I sucked." And she's like, "Well," and she's like, "I helped get you your new career," or whatever. She said, like, your writing's like laughably bad or something. And she's like, "Well, I helped you get a different job."
Well, she does the thing that I'm so jealous of when people can do this, where they go, where they're like, "You said this mean thing to me." And she goes, "Did I?" So she's not apologizing and she's not admitting anything. But she does it in such like a fun, likable way. Like,
God, could I have possibly said that? And it's
like, I would never. He's like, well, no, it's haunted me, and I had to move across country.
He'd taken it really well, and then he was kind of a pal.
Well, he does, because he's like, you sure did. And that's where I found, like, my suit in comedy.
And she's like, Jessica has a real army, like, stance on things, like, never apologize. Sure. like, an apology is absolutely not where I will be going, but I'll, like, charmingly, like, say, like, oh, God.
Yeah, it was really good. She was like, okay, sorry, Jesus, sorry to hear it. Oh, no, like, no, sorry.
No, we can't say it. This is what I was saying to. It's a Real Housewives apology, which I'm always. Yeah, I'm sorry that you feel that way, or
that you were offended by what I said.
I love that. I love Jessica for that. Like, because this guy tells her something sort of devastating.
Yeah,
she said, and then she's like. But look at you now. Like, you've done so well. And he's like, you're right, I have. And and it was the best advice.
Okay, she's like, oh, I'm a talent scout. That's what she was saying.
She said his storylines were laughable.
Yes.
Yes.
Cruel thing to say to somebody.
That is really cruel. Like,
so mean.
But he segued into a career in comedy, which
she saved him. Also, did you guys like that there was a passing reference to Lieutenant Caceres?
Yeah, I loved that. I wrote it down. Yeah,
I was like, oh, you mean Gabe?
She's like, yeah, I know Gabe.
Yeah, she's like, he just left my house this morning.
Intimately.
We just spent the weekend in Malibu together. So, yeah, I know Gabe.
Like, I know him pretty well. Like, no big deal. He said he worked at the Hollywood division or something. I can't remember what he said. I love Gabe. I wish he was in this episode, but I understand why he wasn't.
Yeah. So unhinged that it almost makes it like takes away points for me for this episode. So it would have been nice to have like a Gabe on our side, but.
And the dad lies about his alibi.
You know, the dad.
That is the dad so problematic.
It's like he doesn't believe that his son didn't kill him, but then he didn't kill her, but then he's like lying about where he was. It's like, dude, like, that is not good. Like, Jessica, but then he like works with Jessica. I don't know. He's annoying.
Yeah, I really, a lot of my comments are like, wow, he's out of control. What is going on here?
He's out of control.
He threatened Ricky too. He like, about the safe. She's like, how do you know I have a safe? And he's like, just don't mess with us. I'm like,
well, as though also, like, I don't want to be, like, whatever. But they at some point mentioned, like, oh, I don't have a dad like you who's, like, busting down doors for me. It's like, do the children of cops, like, get it easy in Hollywood? Right. I don't think that's actually necessarily how that works. But I don't know. Now I feel like maybe I'm wrong.
Well, because Vince was only known for being in a jockey short ad.
Well, Vince was a hunk of meat if I've ever seen one. And he wore a leather vest at the beginning that...
Like he was like squeezed into that.
Truly second to none. You know, it's like you... It's so funny to me too, like the idea of putting on a leather vest over a t-shirt. Like, it's like you have your t-shirt on and you're like... This is a little, like, this isn't showing my personality enough. Like, I am going to put the best.
Well, I was saying to Megan, I was like, he's like, I think would be handsome, but they put him in, like, quite strange outfits and styled his hair quite weirdly. Whereas, like, if they leaned into him being kind of a big buff beefcake instead of, I don't know what the leather vest was.
Well, and all of his clothes are like too small for him, I thought.
Yeah. Well, but that's a Joey thing. They put Joey in tight things.
Yeah.
I think he's like the beefcake, but then that is something Ricky does that's bad, is that she's like, I guess working her way through the cast of Bugs. Oh, like that's not good. And
Ricky.
This bit seems to be like sort of a troubled person, like in terms of he's got a lot going on, and then he likes Carly, I guess, or we just she was there and she likes him. And I'm like, did any of the Friends cast hook up with each other?
I don't know.
I feel like they always said no.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think they did.
I feel like people wanted them to have hooked up, but it just wasn't.
Didn't David Schwimmer and what's her face hook up? But then like
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, like it was short lived.
I don't know, but it makes me feel like watching this episode, maybe they did.
There was something revealed in the...
What, in the documentary thing?
Yeah, the like tell-all.
There's no.
Okay.
I think like one of them had like a crush on one of, you know, but like nothing ever. Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's like, it might not be very like good to do that if you're on something successful as well, like might kind of not be such a good idea, but I don't know.
No, but I feel like it does have, you know, like people are in close quarters or whatever that you're just, but it didn't seem like that happened there.
No, and I suppose like also it's like, I think it is a natural thing to happen, but also I'm not an actor, so I would imagine like, especially if you're in movies and stuff, you're around like other actors all the time. Like, you know, probably most of them are not dating, you know what I mean? It's just like a professional working environment.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a different type of job. But I did like when Tim basically admitted that the show has no content.
Yeah. Jessica's just roasting him at that lunch.
She's like, it's stupid. He's like, I agree. Another thing I think we should discuss is Tim comes back to the show and they throw a big party because he's back in, and Jessica becomes an honorary bud, which is important. But are we implying the show will carry on when one of the stars has murdered the showrunner? Because I would have thought the likelihood of that would be fairly slim.
I would have as well. Plus, that whole scene was very weird. He's just like wandered back onto the set. They're filming and he's just standing around. And then they drop the balloons and the sign. But you're like, what is he doing? Like, is he in the shot? Like, what are you, what's going on? But then, yeah, I would guess no. But I mean,
the press would be pretty bad. There's
literally no way.
But they did get rid of one of the buds, which was what it, I mean, that which was is what thing. Network wanted.
And probably an arguably pretty expensive like showrunner. I mean, it's,
can you imagine like if that came out in the news and it was like like Jennifer Aniston murders
Mara Kaufman.
Yeah. Like with her laptop. Like, yeah, no, there's no way that would carry on.
No, it's wild. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a good point, Susanna. I didn't really think about it because I think I was just so thrown off about like, him just like wandering on and no one acknowledging he's there. And people are just like, yeah, it was very strange. And then it's like, oh, he's back. Yeah. Like, come back.
Just so going on.
But our, like, co-star was.
I mean, that's all up. Like, the, you know, the, like, the court hearings, like, afterwards. Like, I feel like those would be televised way more than any reruns. Like, they would, I don't know. I just feel like they'd pull the plug on that real quick.
Yeah, it's like, Ricky just tap, tap, tapping on her computer. You're like,
her laptop. Writing her jokes.
Writing her jokes.
Writing her jokes on her laptop, you know.
Laptop computer.
She does not like stage direction in her scripts. Like, angling. We know that.
Yeah.
Angling. Like, how else did they get into where they're gonna...
And it was her SX-13 computer. It's a big deal.
What did she say to the guy? She was like, if this was the war, I could have you like.
Oh, I wrote it down. I wrote it.
Thank you, Glynis.
It was because he's late in giving her the computer. If this was wartime, I could have you shot for dereliction of duty.
And she like laughs hysterically.
I kind of liked the line. I thought it was
no,
funny.
I mean, it's like so impressive and funny.
She is so a comedy writer.
Yeah.
It is so aggressive. And she's like, but she's like loving life. She's going around like sort of smashing people's dreams and like getting cappuccinos on set. Because I guess they have a working
and first machine. Like she's doing just fine.
Banking Vince. Yeah, Vince. Yeah. And then she dumped him. And that scene really did make me laugh a bit when she dumps him. And he's like, but, and she's like, let's not talk about professional stuff at this emotional time. And then just walks off.
She was just like a, I don't know, like she didn't suffer any fools. Like she just, I just loved the energy. I was like, she committed 100%. There was no waffling. Was
kind of like the lady in the one in Cabot Cove. Her name is Wendy. I mean, they have a similar look.
Wendy Maitland.
Yeah, where they're just, although Wendy didn't kill any or get murdered.
No, she worked for the guy with the beret, right?
Yeah, and then she's just like, at least here, Ricky, you're like, okay, well, she is lying to people. She's doing this because, like, she's trying to do her job and people are whatever. Wendy just was doing it for funsies.
Yeah, it wasn't Wendy Maitland. Wendy Maitland was from the tennis episode.
Mea culpa, Jessica.
Mea culpa was Wendy Maitland. What was that guy from the beret called?
It's Fred Berrigan. He was Andy's arch rival. He was his high school bully. And I don't remember what that episode was.
My God,
called.
I completely forgot about that.
I think it's called, How to Get Away with, no, it's something.
I'll find it.
Fred Berrigan. Yeah. God,
now,
we'll
some
remember
of those things fan the old brain pretty well, and then other ones gone.
We'll ride out.
Yep. Just gone, gone, gone.
Okay. Should we go through the beats?
Yeah.
Okay. Episode beats. Thunder weather, no. Secret door, closet hiding, no.
No, but Jessica like pops out behind a curtain or something when when Diane goes into the room. She's behind. Is it a plant?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I also, the safe was hidden behind that really beautiful painting too.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Which are you talking about? The buds?
I think so.
Like the six of them lined up.
Was
like,
that? No, it was opposite.
Okay, opposite ends.
Yeah.
It was, and it was like rolled up like that.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know if you noticed, but when the safe was open, there was a big old wad of cash in there.
Yeah, and that was unexplained, right?
Nobody went, I guess it wasn't a robbery because there's a big wad of cash in there, which felt like the obvious line.
Yeah.
And really quick, it was Wendy Arnold from Evidence of Malice.
Evidence of Malice, God. What a unremarkable name. Like, truly, I can't remember anything.
Also, that episode, this episode, and Something Foul in Flappyville are all season 12, which I feel like solid work.
Well, and the guy in this one that plays Timmy is the same guy from the Murder Channel that Jerry Ludwig also wrote. Where he's the guy who's doing the TV stealing.
Is the one where they think they have the cable channel, but they're like planning a heist?
Yeah.
That is one of the weirdest ones.
But that one has a similar energy to this one. There's like so much going on. There's like story upon story upon story in terms of like what's happening. Poisoning, bludgeoning. Ricky is bludgeoned by her a laptop computer, which that is gotta hurt. Mm-hmm. Those things are heavy.
Oh, especially then when they weighed like so much.
So big. Yeah,
the SX 1300.
13. Yeah.
Phone wire cut. We don't have a phone wire cut, but we do have a lot of phone calls. People are just calling, you know, things are busy in LA. Like, tired tech, we do have a desktop. Then we have a laptop computer. And I like that she mentions pagination.
Oh, yeah, doesn't think... paginate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's dealing with a 10-year-old clunker.
Like that.
Oh, my God.
She's shaking no. Bro code violation.
Yeah.
Oh, you have Vince and Leo. Yeah. Vince is sleeping with Leo's wife. But they never, like, make a joke about,
then
like...
Then he tries to make out with the redheaded chick right in front of Ricky.
No, yeah, like, on set.
And then Gene, like, Carly...
Yeah, there was... It was flying all around.
Gene did like Carly, but then he kept going, as a friend. I was like, uh-oh.
That's true. He did stress that a lot, because I thought he liked her.
Yeah, that his comment about Black Widows was so creepy. Was it him or was it... Yeah, it was him, right?
It was him with Carly.
Yeah.
I thought Timmy said that.
Oh, yeah. So then did Timmy like Carly?
No, Carly was complaining that Vince had gone off with Ricky, and Timmy was like, well, you know what they say about Black Widows and their, like, husbands or something.
They're,
like,
discarded mates.
They're discarded mates. She's like, they eat them or they kill them or whatever.
They kill them and walks away. It's so weird and wooden.
I mean, they were all pretty wooden, the actors on Bud, so I'm not sure how they were selling all the sexuality chat.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Vince could have, but
I don't know. We didn't see the other two, though, so who's to say? Maybe they were really the David Schwimmer and Phoebe. Lisa Kudrow of the set. Okay. She's shaking no bro. Yeah, we got that. Window peep. We see Ricky and Vince making out through the window of Ricky's office.
Right. Yeah. And through the lens of the PI.
The camera lens of the PI.
Fake name ID? No. Drinking game? Buds?
Mm-mm, Glynis has it.
What is it?
Ricky.
That, but also laptop computer.
Well, yeah, laptop computer. But the amount of time that Leo says his monologue, get a prenup, okay, Ricky.
Yeah.
All right, Ricky.
It's so bad.
Sure thing, Ricky. But yeah, and then laptop computer.
Like, sorry that she's a star, Leo. God, like, riding her coattails all the way to the top.
Yeah, hit that monologue. And when he's just sat there in the quote-unquote dark in a fully lit room.
Quote-unquote dark. In the pitch black.
Honestly, that scene would have been, like, a little bit more interesting if it had been dark in the room.
Yeah, instead it was, like, bright red.
Right. It was so light in there.
Okay. The fuzz cop work, we have Lieutenant Flint. He's an a-hole. Yeah. He has a conflict of interest. No cop chemistry, but he does know Caceres. Room Raiders, no. Businessy businesses, TV shows, and production.
I mean, they did steal from the safe. It was technically already open, but...
That's true. I mean, I guess... But they didn't toss the room.
No.
I heard Hartley, no. Age ain't nothing but a number. Okay, keeping in mind, I could not find an age for Cindy Katz. Lieutenant Flint was 53. Rosemary Tynan, that's the PBS showrunner, was 40. Joy, the director, apparently was 32.
What?
I know. Well, I like double-checked it on IMDb. I don't know. Okay, so getting to the young people. Oh, Alex Bauer, who was Leo's, like, fixer, was 37. Leo Vardian was 52. Ricky was question mark. I imagine 31.
Yeah.
She looked pretty young. So our cast of characters from Buds. Timmy was 32. Carly was 27. Vince was 35. Diane was 34. And Gene, the staff writer, was 33.
That all seems pretty right.
Yeah. So only Carly was in her 20s. Everybody else was in their sort of early to mid-30s.
How old was Diane?
34. Gross.
Yeah, a little younger than what she said on the show, but okay.
try 36. Jonathan scale. No.
Leo. Think Leo is kind of a Jonathan.
Oh, Leo. Okay.
He's like whiny, like a Jonathan. And then like entitled, but doesn't seem to do much.
Eventually he's going to run the show though. So everybody likes him.
Okay. Yes, run it right into the ground. Cause
well, it's going to get canceled.
Without Ricky. Oh, you're right. It's going to get canceled.
That show's not.
Good point. Good point.
Everybody's going to be set free to do that Rob Reiner New Delhi movie. These days, no. Petite feet, we do see Diane coming in when she comes in at the end to get the glasses. I know that's not a flashback, but it zooms in on her feet.
Yeah.
Glamour shots, we do see the Buds posters, which I loved.
I only got a shot of one of them, and it's one where they're like six lined up with a white background, and it just was like perfection. But I could see it just like they would happen too quickly, that there were like individual shots of the Buds on the other side of the office.
Yeah.
The Buds. Smooches, Vince and Ricky smooch, and Carly and Vince almost smooch.
Yeah.
Vince is an integral part of the beginning of the episode, and then after about 30 minutes, we never see him again. So
you're right.
Vince, so true.
He's there, really, and then he's gone. Then you really don't see him again.
Well, and he's never a suspect. And you'd think he might be like that.
Well,
means
it's
an opportunity.
One of her 90s ones where she gets killed so late into the episode. We've like forgotten about Vince by then.
Yeah,
that's true. I had forgotten about Vince.
Yeah,
you know, but we never tied up the thing with Carly, so she was fine. So the bloody hands, we see Ricky's bloody head. Familial ties, this is an old student, Tim, and Leo, I guess, is like a friend kind of, or a coworker. Friend function. So Tim is in a good financial position, no mention of a girlfriend. Leo, potentially the same trajectory.
Like probably rich, but love life is in the toilet.
I mean, his love life is a real shocker. And when he confronts her with the photos of her cheating on him, and she's like, so, like, what are you going to do about it? It's like, nothing. Okay. Eyes closed, head shake. We just have pure judgment. Mm-hmm. Like Jessica is like, even though, yeah, she's like appalled that this woman has done this, and is like,
well, and she's 36.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right. She never recovered from the 36 blow. No. Like that.
I don't know about that, but
like,
she's much more in trouble.
Her, like, it was like a, what is that, like, in like those like movies where people are like, whoa,
she's like just starts like sweating. She's like, I can't stop tasting metal in my mouth since you told me that.
So, no, that was her most outraged.
She was like, you have caught me off guard, lady. And it's like, she's not that old. Fave outfit, worst outfit. Ashley, what do you think?
My fave outfit is I weirdly like Vicky's big glasses.
Yeah.
And her orange blazer and white top. She wears it at one scene. I don't know what the rest of that outfit looked like. I don't think there was like a full shot. So, but I did like what I saw on camera. And then my worst outfit is Diane's blouse with the portraits of Marilyn Monroe on it. Was a tough one.
Oh my god, that's
outside. Is she smoking? Is she smoking? She's outside, leaning against the wall, talking to Jessica.
I have
but
a
yeah,
purpose,
okay,
but
okay,
yeah,
it's like those are mine.
Neon green and black.
Yeah, it's got like leaves on it.
Yeah, it was always. It's like yeah.
Thank you, Ashley. Glynis, what do you think?
Wait, did you say a top one? Oh no, yeah, you did say Ricky's glasses. Yeah, I liked Ricky's red blazer. I did also like Diane's mini skirt in that outfit. Like, I felt like that was very of the time. But yeah, I had two worst. One was that blouse, was Diane's blouse. And then the other was Jean was wearing this like poo brown knit sweater at the end too. And it was It was like multiple shades of like poo brown.
Yeah, Jean had a couple different sweaters that all had the same theme. So I felt a little sorry for that actor because he might have been like, oh, it might be fun to be on Murder, She Wrote. Oh, they've stuck me in like a medley of poo brown for the entirety of the episode.
But looking at the other one, like the sweater vest with the like patterned blouse that they're like button up, sure. Like, I don't mind that. But the last one was, yeah, it wasn't great.
Thank you, Glynis. Megan, what do you think?
Yeah, my least favorite was that green top. I didn't realize Marilyn Monroe was on it, but now looking at it closely, it totally is. And that's like not great. I mean, Diane's outfit at the very end isn't bad. It's just like a, because otherwise I didn't really have that many good ones. I thought Jessica looked fine, but nothing like remarkable. And then Jean's outfits were tough.
Yeah, I mean, mine were exactly the same as Ashley's. So my top one was Ricky's glasses, which I loved. And she did, she had that like an orange sort of like woolen blazer with a leather accent around the collar that I thought was really nice. So yeah, Ricky looked amazing and she had really great nails. And then my worst was also Diane's weird silk shirt. I mean, Diane wore a couple of things that were kind of weird, but that was the only one that I thought was like actively bad. Everybody else looked fine.
One of them, she's wearing this hot pink, what do you call it? Like a mock turtleneck. And I was like, do I? I just was on the fence. I think I kind of ended up liking it without the jacket, but
I think she pulled it off.
Yeah. Because
then at one point, also, Carly was wearing like a mohair light pink top with leather suspenders, and I was like, actually, I think she looks good, so I don't have a lot of complaints. Would I wear it?
It's like, okay, I don't think I'd wear that now, but in the 90s I would have like killed for like a hot pink mock turtleneck with like a white mini skirt.
Well, she did look cute, so it's like, you know, the other one was just ugly. biggest hunk, Glynis, who was your biggest hunk?
I weirdly liked the PI.
Oh, yeah.
I'm shocked.
Was not expecting that. Okay.
Well, yeah. It was between him and Gene, to be honest.
His name was Alex Bauer. But I think, again, like Vince, did not appear after minute 20.
No, but maybe he's my favorite guest star because his arc was interesting. He was like, oh, here's the stuff. And then by the end, he's like, I think I should be promoted. He pulls out all the sass. He's just like, yeah, turned off my phone. Because Leo's like, I was calling you. And he's like, turned it off. Think I'm due for a promotion, so think about that, and then drove away.
Yeah, whatever title he asked for, I forgot about this, but Glynis burst out laughing. He's like, yeah, that probably pays pretty well, right? And then drives off. I was like, all right, that's pretty good.
And this is after Leo basically asks him to murder his wife. Like, he's like, make it go away. And then this guy's like,
yes. Well, because he's like a fixer, right? It's like he goes around kind of busting heads.
He's also not a hitman.
No, and also he, I guess, was like going to take advantage of the fact that Ricky died to make Leo think he'd killed Ricky and then give him a better job. Megan, who is your biggest hunk?
Yeah, I think I have to go Vince. He's pretty cute. But just the clothes, look, he's pretty cute.
Okay. Ashley?
I put Ricky.
I also put Ricky.
Yeah.
Ashley and I are very much, what do you call that? Simpatico.
Yeah, right now. I don't know. A guest star was hard, so we might, yeah.
Yeah, that is tough. Yeah. J.B. Burns. Megan, do you have any J.B. Burns?
Yeah, when she talks about, like, who would have thought a group of 20-somethings talking about their sexuality would be a hit TV show. Burn, and she meant that as a burn to everyone that watches Friends. And then
she's right, we're idiots.
Talking to Jimmy, and she said it doesn't begin or end with some television comedy. Also, burn. And then I like, there's just a part in the very beginning when she's mad at Rosemary, the PBS lady, and she's like, "Look, Rosemary," like, "Damn, Jessica." But yeah, so I thought she had some, and then just the face she makes when she learns that Diane's 36.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're right. There's a lot of burns. She's going around. She's just like, can't believe this business. They're not going to get my clip on time. Okay, Ashley, what about you, JB Burns?
I just had one where she says, maybe it's me, but I always feel one down with a man negotiating with a gun. Was that her?
Leo said that too.
Oh, yeah. Leo.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Glynis?
And none of these are JB, but I thought that they were all funny. So Ricky is yelling at Leo for the millionth time and saying, "Field the flack. Don't pass it on to me." Oh, and then when they're reviewing the PI's photos, and Ricky's just being really sassy about it, she just goes, "Ooh, that's not my good side." And then right before Ricky gets murdered, she's yelling at the director. And the director goes, "It can't be a reflection of my directing because you haven't backed off long enough for me to do it."
That was funny.
That was funny. Yeah,
that was good.
We had a lot of female involvement in the making of a TV show, which was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I just had, the only other line I had was Lieutenant Flint says, "Ricky's meaner than a sewer rat." He wasn't expecting her to be like that. It's like, in what way weren't you expecting her to be like that? She's literally been like that the whole time.
Yeah, I mean,
like, she's trying to convince Jessica to do the show she wants her to do and like screams at Jean right in front of her. And then is like, "Think about it, Jessica." It's like, what the hell?
Oh my God, amazing.
Okay, fave guest star. Ashley, who's your fave guest star?
I had originally written down Lieutenant Flint.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was such a punk, but I think I'm gonna go Gene Gaines.
Gene, yeah. Okay. Glynis.
Well, I think we all know mine now.
Oh, Alex Bauer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You know, he was good. I liked it.
Yeah. Megan, what about you?
I'm gonna go Ricky. I thought she was like a lunatic, but I like weirdly was never bothered by any of her choices.
I liked her. I agree with you. Cindy Katz was my fave guest star too. I thought every minute of the show she was in, I enjoyed. And then when she wasn't in the show anymore, I was like, "Oh, that's a shame."
So you guys were like, "Oh, she lied." I was like, "Oh, did she?" I was like, "I guess I just chose to ignore that."
Right.
I'm sure there's a lot we could take from Cindy in the corporate world. Look,
we just come I mean, she's like, just to get the show done.
Glynis's guess. Who'd you guess, Glynis?
I guess the cop, the dad.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Because he was such a dirty cop that he was doing so many illegal things.
Yeah. Okay. And what do we think that Glynis gave Murder Among Friends? I actually think she might have liked it. So I'm going to say 8.
I'm going with that too.
Yeah.
I said 7.
Okay.
Nice.
So you enjoyed it.
The first watching, I was meh. And then the second time around, it crept up. But yeah,
it crept up.
I like that, you know.
Grew on you. Beautiful words, Glynis.
Yeah.
What was your favorite moment?
When Ricky's talking to, wait, who's the guy that she was hooking up with?
Vince.
And like, she's basically like trying to brush him off and break up with him, and says, "We shouldn't talk about work and during such an emotional time," or something like that, and she like walks away laughing. I thought that was pretty funny.
She's so naughty.
She's so naughty. I mean, I should take those tactics in my dating life too.
Oh my God, yeah, she's funny.
Okay, Ashley, what about you? Fave moment overall ranking.
I give this an 8 out of 10. I actually really liked it. I'm really only for Ricky. I think if Ricky hadn't been there, I don't know how much I would have loved it. And my fave moment was Diane's confession. When she says, when you're an actress, the clock is ticking. It's like being a ball player. When the legs go, so does the career. Afterward, I was sorry. Like, she fully murdered someone. And she's like, but I was sorry. And then the 36 confession I thought was great. So.
Okay. Thank you, Ashley. Mm-hmm. Megan, what about you?
I gotta go 10 out of 10. I don't, the dad is tough, but then in a rewatch and hearing what you guys had to say, I was like, you know, him being a complete maniac is kind of funny. And then just the age reveal and all the 90s-ness of it all. And then the burns against friends and friends viewers just really got me. And the fact that they don't show two of the buds. I looked it up. One guy's in the credits is fifth bud, and the movie gets no mention.
Fifth bud
is truly the greatest credit of all time.
I'm so on the fence about this one because I do really like it, and I actually, you know what, F it. I'm gonna change my vote. I'm gonna give this a 10 as well. I think it's really, really fun. I think the whole premise is hilarious. I think that the fact that they're making fun of a current other show on television is so funny. And the way they do it is so funny and specific. And I kind of like that they've set the premise as being something kind of crazy that wouldn't really happen on a sitcom. You know, it's like part of the fun of it, I think, is like all of that. And I liked my favorite moments. Probably is the bit where Ricky's blowing off Vince, but really anytime Ricky's being horrible to someone. And the bit where she's shouting at the computer guy on the phone and she says that thing about dereliction of duty really did make me laugh out loud. And I just thought all that was pretty funny. I don't know. Like, it was a funny episode. So 10 out of 10 for me, I think, with and I think actually season 12, I don't know what the statistics are at the moment. I don't have them in front of me, but I think with us, it does score kind of high.
I really like season 12, like Quaking in Aspen is season 12, Nan's Ghost is season, like there's a lot of good ones. And I just like, it's not, I don't know. And I mean, we can think about it more, but I just can't think of an episode where they like specifically targeted like another TV show just to like burn them. Like there are things that Jessica doesn't like. You know, but like,
right.
This was like, these kind of TV shows are pretty dumb, if you ask me.
So. You're right. And the fact that they have it as like a direct counterpart to the PBS programming she's doing.
Oh, I be know. Like,
this is the highbrow thing, and what you guys are doing is stupid. And I think that's a ballsy move, and I like it. So. Yes, does anybody have anything else they'd like to say about Murder Among Friends? I mean, the flippant title of the other show is even in the title of this episode. Right. That is madness.
I know, why didn't they call it Murder Amongst Buds?
Yeah. Murder Among Buds. I love that the show's called Buds. Okay, yeah. So good. I stand by my choices. Okay. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening, and we hope you listen again next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.